Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates both psychology and scripture studies to understand the Gospels and to seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. Today's podcast marks the 25th edition of my podcast, A Psychologist Looks at Scripture. It has been both a challenge and an opportunity for me to share with you my reflections. It is my belief that the behavioral sciences and religion have much to offer each other. Sadly, there's often a disconnect between religion and psychology. It is my belief that the disconnect is artificial and not accurate. I hope that you will find this podcast useful in your study of the scriptures. I also want to take this opportunity to invite you to a 3-day Easter retreat starting Thursday evening, March 28th, to Easter Sunday, March 31st. If interested, please look at the invitation to the Easter Retreat Preparation Part 1 in the previous podcast for more information. Today's podcast is from Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. This gospel focuses on Jesus coming to the Passover festival. There are a couple of points that I would like to make for you. Jesus is welcomed by the people of Jerusalem in a fashion reserved for royalty. Likely, there would have been some exaggeration here, as any sign that the people were welcoming a king would have aroused the attention of the Roman officials and soldiers. The Jews did have a rebellious reputation, and the Romans would likely interpret Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as a threat to their power, and Jesus would most likely have been arrested. The Feast of the Passover is a particularly painful time for the Jews, because at Passover, they're celebrating their freedom from the Egyptians. The Roman soldiers would be on high alert at this time for any sign of an impending uprising. For our purposes, though, this really doesn't change anything. I have no way of knowing for sure how Jesus felt. On one hand, he was likely pleased that the people were happy to welcome him. He likely recognized many of the people and genuinely feel welcomed. On the other hand, Jesus, who knew the thoughts of the Pharisees, likely knew the depths of the people's faith, and that of the people welcoming him that day most likely did not fully understand his messiahship. I'm reminded of a parable found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, where Jesus talks, or in a parable, about a sower who sowed some of the seeds on rocky soil. And in the quote, "The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a short time." Jesus knew the people had their heart in the right place, but their faith had not had a chance to mature and develop roots into their hearts. We see the same dynamic in the disciples. We hear from Peter's comments that he didn't understand, and his faith was quite shallow. He would deny Jesus 3 times, as recorded in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. Yet, years later, he would be, according to Christian tradition, be martyred for the faith. My intention here is not to be critical, but to recognize that Jesus was still able to achieve his mission, even with people. We see this dynamic in our own relationships. How many romantic relationships start out with an infatuation, and with time mature into a loving relationship? Sometimes, however, the relationship does not survive. I bring this to your attention, as you might also have experienced this moment of joy or witnessed someone else who has discovered God, or who is in the process of renewing their faith. I have often heard people lament, wishing that they had the faith they had when they were a child. They don't often understand when I say to them that I'm quite glad that they do not have the faith of a child. You're an adult now. I want to quote again from St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11. And he writes, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." What then is an adult faith? Let me give you a few points. Someone with an adult faith allows God to be God. I remember a professor of mine in the seminary who would often say, "God created humanity in his own image, and for the last 2,000 years, we've been returning the favor." Someone with an immature faith may project many of their own needs when describing their relationship with God. Sigmund Freud described faith as a fantasy based on an infantile need for a father figure. Perhaps for some that is true, but I'm not ready to label faith as that. recognizing that God sees and understands more than we do. When we don't fully understand a situation, we may feel bewildered or hurt. At the same time, we may recognize that there is still a divine purpose in what we are experiencing. Rather than asking, why is God punishing me? Perhaps I should instead ask, what is the reason or what is the lesson I need to learn? A person with a mature faith leaves room for God's Spirit to be involved in their life. They don't have to do it all. There's a sense of detachment, and I'll speak more about this in subsequent podcasts, because detachment does not mean they don't care or lack willingness. Detachment is simply trusting God to handle the situation. Someone with an adult faith does not hesitate to ask questions about their faith. Jesus never criticized those who asked questions. Even Mary asked the angel Gabriel, how can this be, when she is asked if she would be the mother of God? And this is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Someone with an adult faith is not alarmed when they have doubts or are unsure of something. Having periods of doubt may be distressing, but not threatening to one's faith. And these doubts may lead the person to seek until they find an answer. A person with an adult faith is not stressed or threatened by someone who has a different perspective on their faith. They're comfortable with diversity. They can be committed to their own denomination, but are still comfortable with and even curious about another's faith. This list is not exhaustive, and I will likely be adding more characteristics of a mature faith in subsequent podcasts. The second point I want to draw your attention to are the directions, very explicit directions, that Jesus gives to his disciples when organizing the Passover. Jesus clearly knows what is going to happen. It almost seems like this was part of his plan. Jesus would continue to manifest both conviction and control of the situation throughout his trial. The gospel readings from Palm Sunday to Easter are intense. Jesus remains focused through it all. Despite the failings and the weaknesses of the people, Jesus is still able to be a source of salvation. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of John, who describes important events surrounding the early experiences of the disciples as they realize that Jesus was no longer in the tomb and may have truly risen from the dead. If this is the first time you've heard my podcast and you're interested in hearing more, I urge you to listen to my podcasts listed on the website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link is https, https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. If you have any questions or concerns, I can be reached by email at peter.doherty@gmail.com. That's Doherty, DOHERTYOMI, @gmail.com. Before I close, I'd like to thank Mr. Richard Coulomb for his review of this podcast and his assistance. God bless, and hope you have a blessed Holy Week.